Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
Good morning. This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Difficult times lie ahead for America and Britain, and for the entire world for that matter. But do we as America want to hear about them? And do we want to prepare for those difficult times? Things aren't the way they ought to be. Things aren't the way they should be with America. Things aren't the way that they will be for America. And things aren't the way that they were just a few years ago in America and for America. Things have gone so well for America economically for so long, and in many other ways as well, that it's hard to convince us about tough times, and probably even tougher to convince us to begin to prepare for those tough times that lie ahead. For most Americans alive today haven't seen or haven't known hard times. Most of the Great Depression and World War II generations, that group of Americans who knew pain, suffering, great sacrifice, courage, and victory are gone, or they are dying off. That generation, most of its survivors, are in their late 70s, 80s, and even in their 90s. But they knew the old America, where liberty, integrity, traditional values, common sense and reverence for God and His Word, a love for freedom and for liberty, our Constitution and family were the norm. That generation was the last to grow up in the old America, the America that still believed and practiced the true values of our founding fathers. Yes, those people have just about passed the scene, but they knew all of these things and they lived by this. Each generation from the 1960s up to the present has moved farther and farther from those values until today. In the new America, many of Americans see nothing wrong with baby killing, that is abortion, homosexuality, gay marriage, free sex. What used to be called promiscuity is now the norm in America before and after marriage. A drug-saturated MTV culture, the collapse of the traditional family, and the emergence of rebellious latchkey kids seeking some sort of identity or meaning to life, the concepts of freedom, liberty, individual responsibility, freedom from ubiquitous government-controlled, traditional biblical values, courage, and self-sacrifice are being forgotten as the greatest generation, the last generation, the old America, passes from the scene. A nation which forgets its history and traditions, which indeed turns its back on what made it great, is in trouble, as ours is today. A nation which can no longer discern the difference between good and evil, or between truth and falsehood, is a nation very close to losing its prosperity and freedom, as ours is today. I think we'd have to be blind, my friends, to know that America isn't in trouble. We'd have to be blind if we didn't see the fact that America is in trouble. We have failed to teach our kids the history, the traditions, the concepts, which made the old America the greatest nation in the world. Now, my friends, I know that some of you listening to this program don't like to hear the way it is today in America. And I wish that I could butter your bread by telling you everything is just fine with America. But as a minister of Jesus Christ, I will be held accountable for what I speak and what I don't speak. And it's up to you what you do with the knowledge that you have and the knowledge that you acquire. But I can tell you that you are going to need God's help and protection in the near future to get through those tough times that lie ahead for America. We have drifted too far from the ethics and the principles of our Constitution and our forefathers, and certainly from true and pure religion and God's law. And God isn't pleased with the way that we are headed. We reap what we sow. There is a payday coming. And we're already reaping that payday. We are already reaping things that we have sown because we have turned our back on our God, on our Maker, and rejected His Word and His law. Church is teaching that they've been nailed to the cross, that Jesus Christ nailed the commandments to the cross, and that we no longer have to obey those old laws. How wrong can we be, my friend? We couldn't be any further from the truth when we teach that. There is a payday coming, and it may be sooner than we want to believe. We can't continue our lavish lifestyle on borrowed money. We can't continue to reap the blessings of God and the protection of God that has been ours based on the covenant made to Abraham, passed on down to Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and their descendants, which we are, while turning our back on God. We can't continue to live the way that we're living and reap God's blessing. To keep those blessings, we must obey God's law, that is, God's word. Just as God foretold national prosperity and splendor for Israel, he also prophesied what would happen to that nation for continued disobedience, the erosion of its moral base, and the promotion of its godless values would result in unprecedented calamity. If you have your Bible handy, turn back with me to Deuteronomy 28. We'll begin in verse 14. And if you don't have your Bible, please get your Bible. I want you to know this and understand this, my friends. This is a prophecy for ancient Israel, and it extends right on down to modern Israel, to America, to Britain, to New Zealand, Australia, and Canada. Our day now. And much of this is an end-time prophecy, my friends, that applies to you and me. And we need to perk up our ears and listen, because it's going to come to pass whether you believe it or not. Notice in verse 14 of Deuteronomy 28, I might just add that in the previous verses here, verses 1 down through 13, God is telling us of all the blessings that we would reap if we would obey him. Now he gets into telling us the curses that's going to come upon us and overtake us for not obeying him. And I think we'd have to be blind if we didn't see that we are reaping curses instead of blessings these days. Verse 14 of Deuteronomy 28. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I have commanded you this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Eternal your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today that all these curses will come up on you and overtake you. Now let's read that again, my friend. Let's read verse 15 again and ask yourself, are you carefully obeying those commandments that God has commanded you to obey? But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully. Notice that, to observe carefully. Be watchful. Make sure that you're obeying his laws. Carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today that all these curses will come up on you and overtake you. My friends, we're living in the day when those curses have come up on us. Many of them have already come up on us, and they are overtaking us. We are being overwhelmed by the curses that we have brought upon ourselves, on America, on you personally, and on me personally, by turning our back on God's law. Notice down in verse 43, the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. Now, do you know of any foreigners that has come into America that owns big business in America and they're prospering? You don't have to look too far to realize that, do we? He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. God had promised us that if we would obey him, that we would be the lending nation, that we would never borrow, but we would always be lenders. Do you know, my friend, that we're the greatest creditor nation on the face of the earth today? America is, to our chagrin. What a shame. What a shame. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. These prophecies are coming to pass, my friends. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you. As I said, these curses have been coming upon us for years and years, but we're just about in the point now to where they are overtaking us, overwhelming us, and we don't know how to wiggle out anymore. Shall overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you to obey. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and on your descendants forever, something that would cling to us, that would cleave to us, if you will. They would be with us, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Well, now, have we done that? Have we served our God for the abundance of this great land that he's given us, a land where we haven't had to want for anything? Have we rejoiced in our God? Have we given Him the proper thanks? Have we obeyed His laws and thanked Him for such beautiful, wonderful laws? No, we haven't, have we? Ask yourself these questions, my friends. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And He will put a yoke of iron on your neck until He has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar. Verse 49 of Deuteronomy 28. This verse and the next verse is certainly an end time prophecy for Israel today, the United States and Britain. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. Now we know that ancient Israel went into captivity in two stages, beginning 732 to 721 B.C. But did that nation come from afar that took them into captivity? Was that nation close by? And did that nation come as swift as the eagle flies? No, indeed, my friend, it did not. It could not have done that back at that time. This is an end-time prophecy for America, and you need to listen to this. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. Now, which nation on the face of the earth qualifies for this? Which is the cruel nation of this earth, my friends? I could tell you today, but I won't. Maybe you could do some research and find that out yourself. Let's continue on here just a little further in Deuteronomy 28. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave grain nor wine nor oil, or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. They shall besiege you at all your gates. This is speaking about a trade war. Who's losing the trade war? I ask you, who's losing the trade war? I will tell you in just a minute. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and your fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you at all your gates throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given you. They shall besiege you in your gates, yes, or sea gates, a trade war. A trade war is in process right now and has been for years. And America is getting the raw deal. America is coming out as the losers in this trade war. Says, until your high and your fence walls throughout all of your land comes down. Now, what has been our high and our fence walls that we have trusted in? Well, it's been our military strength, hasn't it? And it has been the dollar. The dollar is now down about 50% against the euro since October. Recently, hit its lowest level since 1995 against a basket of currencies. That doesn't sound good, does it? That doesn't sound good at all. The dollar is now down 50% against the euro since October. Well, this shift isn't entirely new. It has accelerated since President Bush's re-election. Some observers say the timing reflects concern that with his emphasis on tax cuts, that we would not be able to rein in the deficits. Now, the world is concerned about the deficits of the United States. They seem to me be more concerned than you and I are. The general perception was that under the Bush administration, there would be less concentration on tackling the two deficits, says Rain, economist for Citicorp, the world's largest financial institution. He was referring to the $412 billion budget deficit and the approximately $600 billion trade deficit the United States ran in 2004. Did you catch that? He was referring to the $412 billion budget deficit and the approximately $600 billion trade deficit the United States ran in 2004. Can you imagine that? $600 billion in trade deficit? My friends, we are in trouble. And you might as well begin to prepare for these tough times because they are coming. We invite you to call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.